Welcome to the Crispin Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Crispin. Topics on today's episode include current issues in the mortgage industry, my interview with Polensky Beidle Green, Stacey Maizano on women in the mortgage industry and getting the younger generation involved, and if we're in a recession, why are rates going up?
Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Black Knight. Black Knight is a premier provider of innovative, high-performance technology, data, and analytics for first mortgages and home equity products. From point of sale through post-closing, the company's trusted loan origination system, Empower, as well as its integrated end-to-end origination solutions, deliver unmatched capabilities, functionality, and support to increase processing efficiencies and lower operational costs for lenders, as well as improve the home buying experience for borrowers. Black Knight leads the mortgage technology space, helping clients of all sizes conquer business challenges and provide borrowers with the advanced digital capabilities they increasingly expect.
Did you know that wheat future prices are at a two-year low and lumber prices continue to drop as well? Those numbers should help reduce inflation, and during the conference in New York, there was plenty of talk about external influences such as price increases on residential lending. But there are also plenty of issues within our biz. For example, signing bonuses continue, albeit at a slower rate. Perhaps some of the economic bloom is off of the rose. Big signing bonuses come with big handcuffs, and it stinks when a competitor takes your production but not your overhead, right? With the help of technology and tracking, a lender's management can, more than ever, determine whether a given branch or LO is making money for the company, or is merely a source of concessions and extensions. Recruiters sometimes talk of the greater foot theory when bad LOs or branches move on to another lender. For today's interview, I wanted to welcome onto the show Polensky Beidle Green, Stacey Maizano, to talk about women in the mortgage industry and getting the younger generation involved. She's responsible for expanding the firm's business portfolio and providing exemplary customer service to existing clients. With more than 25 years of experience in virtually all aspects of residential mortgage originations, Stacey has worked as a residential closer, underwriter, loan officer, escrow officer, and title company closer. Her previous executive positions include serving as a lending regional sales manager, vice president of mortgage production, and lending managing director.
Today's conversation is all about women in the mortgage industry, and I also want to talk about getting the younger generation involved and figuring out ways that women can achieve promotions that they rightfully deserve and those sorts of things. So I want to start by asking you, from your perspective, what are some of the challenges women face in breaking into or being promoted within the mortgage industry?
Just overall, in general, and then I can speak specific to the mortgage industry. But, you know, I was reading in several reports and things like that, that, you know, only one in four women overall are in the C-suite. And women in the financial arena, really less than 2% are in that CEO position. So it's like, okay, then you wheel it back to where does that start? Where do we start with that? So I never heard this until I did this research for this podcast. It's called a broken rung. I don't know if you've heard of that ever.
I understand the context, but I haven't heard it necessarily.
Yeah, it's just where women are unable to really break through that entry-level management role so that they then can get promoted to higher levels. So, you know, women coming out of college account for over 50%. So if they're not getting into those entry-level management roles at the start, that's what they're calling a broken rung. And then we're staying behind, right? Because of that. Does that make sense?
It does.
You know, we do have a lot of women that are, you know, will shift and things like that for opportunities that they feel maybe that they're not getting in their current company that they can get, you know, at other companies. So I do feel like there's more shifting and can be opportunity in that realm as well.
Well, following up on the broken rung comment, how can that be fixed, or what are ways around it? Where does that really manifest itself? And what do you see as solutions for that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. And just looking at the data, over 50% of college graduates are women. So just really companies looking at that recruiting piece. And if their statistics on recruiting are into those entry-level positions are not equaled out, because you do have, almost equal men and women graduating from college. So that gives you an equal opportunity to hire equally so that you can overcome that broken rung.
So you mentioned a couple statistics there, the 1 in 4 women in the C-suite, the percentage of college graduates. But I asked you to do a little research before we met here, and I want to know any statistics you can share on women in the mortgage industry or their contributions. What'd you come up with in your research?
Companies that do have the gender diversity on their executive teams, they are 20, and this is in the financial mortgage arena, they're 21% more likely to outperform on profitability and 27 more likely to be drivers of growth and innovation. So another really interesting fact was, I didn't realize that women make up 50% of home buyers today. So home buyers are our customers. 50% of those home buyers are women, which again, that's equaled out, right? So why not have more women in those C-suite positions? Because your customer makes up 50% of that as well.
It's a very good way to put it. Where'd you find those stats? What's your source here? Cite your source.
Oh my goodness. So I did look at there's a Harvard Business Review. Freddie Mac also did a couple of studies that I took it from, and a couple other places as well.
And we can put me on blast here. I know you did a little research on my interviewing of men versus women. What'd you find out there? Tell the world.
Yeah. So when I was doing all this research, I got curious, which that's normal for me to be curious. So I went in and I wanted to see what the men to women ratio was for your podcast. And it is a little more heavier on the men's side. So as we talked earlier, you're going to have more women on your podcast, which I'm super excited about and will certainly help in that. And I'm sure women and even men out there listening will send women your way.
Yeah, we'll make a public service announcement here and say any listeners out there that think there would be good women for me to interview, Robbie@robchrisman.com. Shoot me an email. I'm pretty easy to get in contact with. So let's make it happen. Next question I want to ask you is, how can companies be better about utilizing women for both their bottom line success? I know you mentioned profitability there, and gender equality. I guess there are certainly benefits to this. What's preventing companies from acting in more equitable ways?
I think that more and more companies, are having D&I initiatives, diversity and inclusion, which this certainly falls up underneath that. I think just really knowing that our younger generation, especially, my opinion, looks for that in a company. So really becoming conscious of it, start talking about it. Having that D&I initiative at your company, I do think that, utilizing women and having things available to them is like a mentorship program within the company. And there's several mortgage companies that do that now. It just provides them a platform to learn, exchange ideas, have that peer-to-peer mentorship, build strength and confidence and empowerment for that support. And, there's so many men allies out there as well. I personally have had mentors, Alan Polensky. I joke with him because I claim him as a mentor. I don't know if he claims me as a mentee, but that's okay. One of the ways that he's really mentored me is to get involved in the industry associations and giving back to the industry that I've worked in for so many years. I didn't do that really until 5 years ago when I came to work for the firm Polensky Vital Green. And so this goes back to what I'm saying. Women have to also raise their hand and get involved. And I think that, you know, sometimes it can be hard really for anyone to raise their hand.
Well, I want to talk about associations in a second here, but let's continue on the mentoring vein. Can you talk about why it's so important to mentor women in the mortgage industry? And maybe thoughts in general on mentoring women.
I have mentors and I also have mentees. I have mentors from women that have come before me, have more experience and wisdom. Sometimes I just need that you can do it. I've learned so much. And like I said, I've also had male mentors. Alan happens to be one of them. But then being a mentor, giving back, it's just that community where I feel when you have mentors and mentees, you don't feel all out there by yourself. And I think the feeling like you're the only one going through something or you're the only one having this challenge can be stifling. Sometimes it's just good to know you're not the only one. Somebody's been through it. Somebody can help and are willing to help. So.
And now let's talk about women's associations. I know you're involved with Women, WIMIN. Maybe talk about that for a second. And then also the importance of having local, state, and national women's associations.
Yeah, so we have Empower at the national level through MBA. And I love going to all of those events and being a part of that. And then we have several states that have brought it down to the state level. I'm from Texas, so Texas has a Texas Women's Mortgage Association. So there are some women in their career that either they're not at the point in their career where they're attending state and national association conferences to be able to attend these, or they just aren't in a position where they're traveling. So bringing it down to the local level, I feel is very important. One, for the younger generation that's starting in our industry. And two, just to have that camaraderie in your, basically your backyard. So we used to have a women's association that was local. That has not been here for several years. So several women put together Women, which is Women's Inclusive Mortgage Industry Network. It is a nonprofit that chapters out into many different cities, whoever has the energy to take it into their city. And we have our first meeting coming up and we've had a lot of response. And it goes back to what I was talking about, the mentoring. We have a mentoring program, the camaraderie, the networking, the being together, supporting, and the male allies as well have really embraced it too.
So earlier in the interview, you mentioned D&I efforts, and we talked about women for the vast majority of this interview. I want to talk about the younger generation in general. And yes, the mortgage industry is male, pale, and stale. And but so the last part of that, the stale part, we could use some fresh blood. How do you think, I mean, is it incumbent upon companies to do more outreach to get younger people involved? Should, yeah, it's amazing how much of the economy, how much of the United States economy, the mortgage industry contributes to, and yet people don't necessarily view it as, I don't know if I want to say a career path, but there's not a major in college that's tailored specifically to the mortgage industry. What are your thoughts?
And there used to be. believe it or not. There used to be at community colleges, at least a career path specifically into mortgage. I think bringing that back in that sense, I also think that, and there's a lot of companies that do this as well, but just going out and recruiting, you know, into those entry-level positions, into the mortgage entry-level position. I know that there are companies that will have a training program for people that are young, and they'll train them up in the mortgage industry so that their company becomes kind of that home and providing that career path for younger people. You know, younger people are very ambitious today, and which I think is great. It was interesting because I was talking to my husband right before I got on here, and I asked him the question, when you talk about an ambitious woman and you talk about an ambitious man, I said, how do you view those two? And he looked at me, I said, is one a positive and one a negative, or both positive or both negative? And he said, and I think that this is true, where ambitious women, it's not so much of a positive thing as it should be, to where ambitious men, it is a positive thing. So I'd like to see that change, because for women to be ambitious, it's not a bad thing. We like to be ambitious too.
I read a good article in the New York Times recently about Elizabeth Holmes, the Theranos CEO that was convicted of fraud and is going to jail. But her defense team essentially argued that she was made an example of because she was too successful and too ambitious. And it's kind of like Icarus, like, oh, if a woman flies too close to the sun, well, she's going to, you know, got to strike her down, that sort of thing. And I do think that setting aside however she defrauded people, there was an element of that in the trial. Before I let you go, for those...
Well, I'm going to speak to that for 1 minute, if I may.
Go ahead.
So there's another study that was done called the Tall Poppy Syndrome. And it most recently came out from an international level. It was just, I think it was Canadian or Australian, but now it's international, just as most recent as this year, that talks exactly about that. Women that are ambitious, to your point, just being cut down because they're ambitious. And I really would love to see that change. I really would. Because we all like to be ambitious, and we all like to have success. And, you know, we should all encourage and cheer each other on our successes, because we don't have all of our successes at the same time. We have successes in different seasons. So maybe if I'm having a success in this season and you're not, you'll have a success in the next season that I'm not. And we just need to cheer each other on in that front. And that's the inclusivity part. And that's the supporting each other part. So yeah, to your point in that.
That's a very good point, because I think in the age that we live in with social media, people are so quick to tear each other down or hate on each other. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, at least with my friends or the people I know, their success does not take away from my success in the least.
Right.
It doesn't. It's not a zero sum game. So it's better to be supportive and push people up rather than tear them down. Before I let you go,
yeah,
for those that are interested in women, WIMIN, or maybe having you as a mentor or talking more about this, what are the best next steps or contact info or last word to you?
Yeah. So the women's website is WIMIN.net. So go on that website. And then all of my contact information is on the Polensky Vital Green website, along with our team, Ellen, who is a mentor to me. It's mortgagelaw.com.
Perfect. Well, Stacey, thank you very much for making the time today. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Keep two things in mind. The markets and individuals don't like uncertainty, but the future is always uncertain. Second, economic doldrums lead to lower rates. But rates rose again yesterday as the clock wound down on the window for debt ceiling negotiations, with a potential U.S. default looming on the horizon. If the U.S. defaults on its debt, higher mortgage rates are a potential risk facing the economy. How quickly we've moved on from the banking crisis, the loan officers should keep credit tightening in mind. Most banks, including those that failed, own 30-year fixed-rate mortgage-backed securities. Those MBS prices have fallen the most, with the Fed's sharp run-up in rates, making it likely that banks will buy far fewer mortgage-backed securities and jumbos going forward, decreasing demand, widening spreads further, and generally causing mortgage rates to go higher. Rates have been on the rise as of late, and while some of the movement can be attributed to hawkish comments from the Fed, the shift higher appears to be global. The German Bund, Japanese government bond, and UK gilt have all moved higher in lockstep. Investors see the Fed cutting rates this year, even with Chair Powell and his fellow FOMC members doing their best to convince Wall Street that they're serious about inflation and that no such thing will happen. In fact, recent Fed messaging has been that we may not be done with rate hikes just yet. After 500 basis points of interest rate hikes over the past year, it's true that the Fed is close to the end of this hiking cycle, at least for the short term. However, we could see a major sell-off in stocks and bonds if investors succumb to the Fed in this tug-of-war over the central bank's monetary policy moves in the second half of this year, and admit that multiple rate cuts in 2023 aren't in the cards. Shifting to the intraday price moves, despite today's early close ahead of the long Memorial Day weekend, several key economic releases will be out and could sway the Fed's thinking regarding further rate increases. We've already received personal income and spending for April, up 0.4% and 0.8% respectively, with core PCE up 4.7% year-over-year. We've also received durable goods orders up 1.1%, excluding transportation down 0.2%. Expectations were for income and spending increasing 0.5% and 0.4% month-over-month respectively, with the core PCE price index increasing 0.3% month-over-month and 4.6% year-over-year. Later today brings Michigan sentiment, before fixed income futures settle at 1 p.m. Eastern and cash markets close at 2 p.m. per CIFMA's recommendation. We begin the day with agency MBS prices worse by a few ticks, the 10-year yielding 3.82 after closing yesterday at 3.81%, and the 2-year at 4.56% after the strong anti-recessionary data this morning. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. I gave my French girlfriend a pendant with Le Monde carved in. It means the world to her.
Thanks again to today's podcast sponsor, Black Knight. As the mortgage industry continues to evolve and embrace digital capabilities to improve and enhance the origination process, you can count on the innovative and integrated solutions from Black Knight to keep your lending team ahead of the curve.
If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.